Good morning, everyone. So, the first reading is from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 6. And Peter addresses first the elders in the church, and now he's addressing the young people. In the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because, and he quotes Proverbs 3, verse 34, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Then there's a second reading from Luke chapter 14, verses 7 to 11. And it starts off, one Sabbath, Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee. When he noticed how the guests picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a more distinguished person than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come to you and say, "Give this man your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when the host comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Julia, why don't you come and I'll pray for you as you bring the word to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for Julia. Lord, thank you for all she is in this house. Thank you for her heart for your word, her heart for people, for her prophetic gift. And we just ask that you would anoint her this morning. Give her words from your heartbeat, that we would be changed and transformed, and that we would hear something of your love for us and your space for us. So, Lord, we ask you, bless her now in Jesus' name.
Thank you, David. David. That's a good start, isn't it? It's called making you humble. And I hadn't meant to do that. Oh, dear. So, I was going to start with another story, but I will still start with it. And it was as I was preparing for today, I was doing some reading, and I read about this football coach in America, and he was on holiday in a different state with his family and four children, and it was pouring with rain. They didn't know what else to do, so they thought they'd go to the cinema. And so when they get there and they walk into the cinema, there's about four or five people there, and they all stand and they're clapping. And he went to his wife, "Hey, they know who I am, you know. I must be famous here too." And so anyway, one of the guys came up and he said, "Oh, thank you, you know." He said, "Oh, do you know who I am?" He said, "No, I haven't got a clue. But we were told that if we didn't get four more people, the movie wouldn't be showing today." A good case of being humbled. So what I want to look at today is, what is humility? Because I think we sometimes get that wrong. Why is it important? Is that me breathing? Good job, I'm breathing. What is humility? Why is it important? And how do we clothe ourselves in it? So, to start with, what is humility? So, I wanted to just come up with a whole load of different things. So, go on to the next one. Looking at its root, the root word of humility or humiliation, in fact, is hummus. Yes, which means grounded. So So it means near the earth or of the earth. So in a way it means just keeping us grounded. Richard Rohr, who's one of my big gurus, I rather like lots of things that he says. He says he prays for one good humiliation a day. So you've had yours, Andrew. So you know, you're clear now. So I don't know that I really could quite go that far, but I understand what you're saying. But I think we often do, don't we? We often think that it's about putting ourselves down, thinking badly of ourselves, and giving a bit of self-flagellation. I'm good at that. Yeah. Thinking that we are very low, that we are. But a lot of that is coming from our insecurities. Yeah, it's about our false self, if you like. It's about all the things that we've been told, or the things that we think we should be as we live in this society. But I love this one from C.S. Lewis, because for me, it sort of balances it out. In his book, In Mere Christianity, he says, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Yeah? And I think that's so true. When we come to situations, you know, it's very easy to think what I need and what I want to do and not necessarily thinking of what others want to do. It's also the opposite of pride. Sorry, I'm just going here to my notes. In Proverbs, again, we had a proverb earlier on, but this proverb says that pride comes before a fall. Yeah. So like the guy in the cinema, you know, his pride, thinking himself importance, came before the fall. And it is all about the ego, isn't it? It's about what we think is important. So, again, pride comes before a fall. It's totally contrary to what our society says, doesn't it? What does our society say? It's like, what does the world require of us? Achievement, success, importance, clambering over people to get to the top. A lot of our society has those pressures, and that's what we sort of feel that we're on this road, which is why we end up feeling bad about ourselves, because we're not doing all of those things. Okay, so why is it important? Go on to the next one as well. I found this word, wordle, and I thought it was quite nice, with humility right in the center. And I don't think it's something, it sort of struck me that it's not always something that we think of as being central to our faith. We can think of love, we can think of compassion, we can think of all sorts of other things, which are all there. But actually, it's putting humility right at the center. And I don't know about you, but whenever I'm doing something like this, having to talk about something, you know, God seems to bring everything on that into my life so that I can live it out, if you like. And so everything that I've been studying, the book that we're doing on healthy emotional discipleship at the staff meeting, Life Worth Living that we're doing in our group on a Thursday, the sermon passages that we've had, everything has been pushing towards this same area of humility. And as I was trying to, some of you know that I'm going away overseas for quite a while, and I've been trying to put people into different spaces where I've been working. And I just had this big revelation one morning, and I just felt God say, I want you to become less as they become more. And this was right at this beginning of this journey that I've been on, working on this whole topic of humility. If pride is the root of all sin, then humility, according to Archbishop, and I couldn't quite pronounce his name, Chrysostom, one of the very, very early church fathers, said that humility is the root, mother, nurse, foundation, and bond of all the virtues. Isn't that amazing? It's almost like without humility, you can't do anything else. That we can't love fully, we can't have compassion fully, unless we have humility. Quite big. So, for me, is pretty important. So then I thought, right, let's go into scripture. And then I thought, if you look up humility, there are just passages and passages and passages about humility. I don't think I'd ever realized quite how often it came up in scripture. Even in the Old Testament, we see it, don't we? I love that one from Micah, you know, and what does the Lord require of you? Not the world. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, right there in the Old Testament, it's there. And if we look at a lot of the huge number in the New Testament, in a lot of Paul's letters, it's going on about humility. And this one is one that we've been using throughout a lot of the talks on that we've been going through in Lent. This one in Colossians, you know, therefore as God's holy people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So again, it's there. Then I thought, okay, well, let's have a look at Jesus and humility. And I love that story that Jane read. It's one of my favorite stories about the wedding banquet, about don't put yourself up near the top table. Go and sit down here, and then if the guest wants you to move up, then they'll invite you. And how much better than being told, sorry, you've got to get off the top table and come and sit down here because we've got someone more important coming to sit with you. And it reminds me, and why I love it so much is because when my daughter got married many years ago, she and her husband-to-be wanted it to be an outdoor wedding reception. And it was in January, so you'd think, okay, chances are she'll be okay. But they were absolutely adamant that they didn't want the indoor venue, which I must admit wasn't nearly as nice. But anyway, on the morning of the wedding, it was blowing a howling gale. It was just horrible, horrible weather. And Helen said, no, you're not going to cancel it. You're not going to cancel it. It's going to be an outside wedding. We're going to do it like this. Like, okay, all right, we won't cancel it. Anyway, as we get there, God is good. We've just been singing about it all the time. Yeah. And the wind blew, went down. As we arrived, literally, the wind settled. And it was the most glorious evening, summer evening. But what had happened is in the morning when they were trying desperately to lay out the tables and do what they needed to do, was that the table plan had got lost and blown away. And when they got it back together again and they put it up on the board and allocated all the tables, they totally turned it around the wrong way. So that all the friends were up near the top table and all the relays were at the back and scattered around the side. And someone came up to me and they said, oh, you've got to change this. I said, look, people are already sitting down. I said, anyway, it's the last shall be first and the first shall be last. But it was really interesting and fascinating to see people's reaction to where they were placed. It was absolutely fascinating. And some couldn't care less, and others were, I think I should be at the top table. Anyway, so that's why I like that story. And I think it's a brilliant illustration, as Jesus's parables always are, aren't they, of what it means to be humble. Next one is a really fascinating one, and Odie and I have been working on the similar theme for tonight. And this one is one which Odie sort of picked up on, really. And it was around when the mother of James and John went to Jesus and said, look, when you get into the kingdom of God, you know, can I have one son on the right and one on the left? You know, and Odie's got lots of thoughts around, you know, what had gone on beforehand. Was it just the mother who was trying to get her sons elevated, or were they quite wanting to be elevated too? Lots of questions around it. But the whole thing is, isn't it, that that's when Jesus said, you lost it, you know? You've totally lost the point. It's not about that at all. I can't say who's going to be there. It's not my place. But can they drink the cup that I'm going to drink? You know, because we don't know what that means. So, and he says, you know, whoever wants to become great has got to be a servant, a slave, actually. It's not about sitting at my right or my left. It's about being a servant to others. Then, of course, absolutely, he's talked about it. Last Supper, he demonstrates it. You know, I wonder what the disciples felt. Well, we know Peter was totally overwhelmed. You can't wash my feet, Lord. You can't wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be part of me. You know, we've all, and then he says, you know, if you're going to be a servant, if you're going to be with me, you've got to be a servant too. You've got to go and wash others' feet. You've got to do what I do. You have to humble yourself. And I kept thinking about what would be the equivalent of foot washing today? You know, how do we do that? How do we become a servant for others? So then it got me to think about how do we clothe ourselves, you know? How do we do these things? And I just couldn't get past Philippians. I know I love Philippians, as you know, because I talked about it earlier in the year, last year. And I just wanted to read this because it just really sums it up. Imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's how we clothe ourselves. So I just came up with a sort of list. Really. I just love that picture, by the way, of our humble God. Our humble God. So, going on about the same attitude as Christ. So, trust God and give him the glory. We've done that, haven't we, this morning? I just thought it was wonderful. Thank you, Josiah. It was just perfect. I'm doing well with names, aren't I? Sorry. Okay, Elijah. Sorry. I don't know where that came from. Sorry. Being humbled again. but anyway, thank you for the wonderful worship, because for me it does, it sums it up. You know, we have to trust. We have to trust that no matter what is going on, that God is good. And that all things work for the good of God. We've got to not do things out of selfish ambition. And there's that whole argument is ambition wrong? Not if it's for the right things. If it's for the things of God, then it's right. It's where we're trying to push ourselves forward that it's wrong. Same with vain conceit, you know. We shouldn't be, I'm very important, I'm a football coach. You know. It's like, oh great, we can all watch the movie. Consider others better than yourself. It's a hard one, isn't it? Elevate people. That's what I love about mentoring. You know, because you can elevate people. And they become greater and you become less. Look to others' interests, not your own. And I thought about that. And I thought, what's a good example of that? And I thought, well, sometimes, you know, when you're cutting a piece of cake, and sometimes they're not quite even, are they? And, you know, they might have two pieces of cake there. And you're thinking, oh, that's a bit bigger than that one. which do you give the bigger piece to the other person? Unless they want to die, of course, and then you're really wanting to help them. The other thing is, I think, is like being sure of our identity in Christ, as beloved of Christ, because as we do, as we accept that, we don't have to elevate ourselves, we don't have to put ourselves ahead of anything, because actually, we just know that God loves us, and that we're doing what we're meant to be doing, and we're in that space, you know? We don't have to work out of our insecurities. Sorry, I'm going on, am I? The other thing is around being open to learn. I think it's one of the most key things, actually. And as I was sitting thinking about it this morning, I was thinking about Jesus in the desert and his temptations. They were the things he had to really work on in order to be who he needed to be. And often those things that come to tempt us, if you like, are the very challenges that we need to overcome so that we can work in humility and loving kindness. It's how we can become servants, because we face those issues, face our insecurities, face our identity in Christ, know that God is good. Then we can stand in that place. And the other thing is, I find sometimes people like to give, which is great, all for that. But sometimes they find it hard to accept and to allow, as Peter, to serve you. Peter found it hard to accept that from Christ. And we sometimes find it hard, don't we, to accept that from others. But as we do, we're gifting them the ability to be a servant. And it's almost, again, a bit like a false humility by saying, oh, no, 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 no. Allow people to serve you as you serve others. Amen. Shall we pray? Lord, I just thank you that you are indeed a humble God, that you not only taught about it, but you demonstrated it. You demonstrated it through the washing of feet. You demonstrated it by going to death on a cross. Your whole life was service to others. Lord, help us to journey with you, to be open to understand who we are in Christ so that we can indeed serve and also be served. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Julia. Again, with these sermons, it's easy just to hear another nice message. But I want you to just highlight, is there something that God has just put his finger on? Because if we don't do that, we're not on a discipleship journey. We're just listening. Just really want to